Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the What We Gonna Do podcast. I am your host, AJ. You can find me on Twitter at OfficialWWDD, on Instagram at What We Gonna Do. You can email me whatwegonadoat@gmail.com with any thoughts, comments, feedback, etc., etc. Man, I am feeling great today. I'm excited. I'm hyped. I am just full of energy with what we're actually going to discuss today. This is going to be spiritual. I'm just going to point it out. I'm going to be clear. This is going to be a spiritual episode, but it's not going to be like spiritual, beating you over the head with a message and trying to get you to convert religions. This is just going to be an honest conversation about me, about how I feel, and hopefully you all can relate to it. I'm still growing as a person. I'm still growing as, you know, as a man. So this is just something that I think everybody might be able to understand, especially if you come from a similar background as mine, which I'll discuss here shortly. If you would like to become a patron, feel free to visit my Podbean, What We Gonna Do, my podcast on Podbean, and become a patron. It's just $1. It helps me out with the cost of hosting, you know, on this platform, getting this message out to everyone. And I mean, it's literally nothing. You can find the link to become a patron on my Twitter or on my Instagram, or like I said, just by going to What We Gonna Do on podbean.com, and you'll be able to become a patron and support the show, support what, you know, what I'm doing here and what I want to roll out in the future. Also, if you are thinking about switching host, or at least your host site from wherever you are, check out Podbean. They got a lot of great features, a lot of great apps, a lot of things that you can actually do on the site. I know that most of the time everybody has their own editing software, so you're doing that somewhere else. You're making your graphics somewhere else. You're requisitioning. You may have a producer. Whatever the case may be, podbean.com/ What We Gonna Do. You get 30 days of unlimited free hosting. You get to check out the platform, use all of their tools, be in contact with support, and actually get started. So if you're looking to get started, or if you're just looking to migrate, definitely a great place to come check out. So today's episode, I am going to just jump into it. Like I said, I'm feeling good. I don't know what it is about today or yesterday, but I'm in a good space. So I want to shout out Sunny Boy and Miss Walker from the Blueprint Live podcast. Let me say that again. I want to shout out Sunny Boy and Miss Walker from the Blueprint Live podcast. Something they said on their episode, Why We Lose, triggered me to put this episode together. I can't remember exactly what it was, but something just came to the front of my mind, and I said, okay, yeah, I definitely have to talk about that. Today, we're actually going to basically say, thank God, I'm blessed. That's the message. That's the message. That's what it's going to be. Thank God I'm blessed. You know, everybody may not feel the same way. You know, you have different religions, and I feel like we can coexist, and everybody is entitled to their own opinions, but I'm a God-fearing man. I do believe that Jesus died for my sins. I do believe that Jesus rose. You know, I am, you know, a Christian. You know, I'll say that clearly. I'll say it proudly. I want to put it out there. I don't want to play any games. Now, let me be clear. I am not perfect by any means. Not perfect. Never claimed to be. I don't hold my religion over anybody else's heads. It is what governs my life. And that's my choice. You know, we have a choice on what we're going to believe in, on what we're going to follow. And that's, you know, my choice. So we're actually going to start with being in the wilderness. To me, that's just not knowing God, not knowing religion, not having an actual relationship. So for me, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't read the Bible. That was not my household. Now, my grandma went to church. My other grandma kind of went to church. They were raised in the church, you know, but I wasn't. If you listen to any of my earlier episodes, I was a hood kid. My mama was, you know, younger, you know, when she had me. So we weren't like that. Now, my mother, privately, as I grew up and, you know, I became an adult, I started learning different things that she had a relationship with God, that was something that I didn't even know about. You know what I mean? Because, again, we didn't go to church. Wasn't no getting up on Sunday. Wasn't no getting up or going to church on a Thursday or Monday or whatever those little days in between. My life, for the most part, I was just out in the street. I was doing whatever I was doing. I was being a kid. I wasn't thinking about nobody's church. I always had an interest, and I kind of wanted to know, but it just wasn't normal. My normal was I didn't go. I don't really know if my friends went. Some of my friends probably went, because you always have those friends that the parents make them go. I always wonder about this, you know, like sometimes, you know, that kind of, you never know what effect that might have. It might push people away from the church. It might bring people to the church. But you have those families where they force you to go to church, to read this, to go to Sunday school, to go to Bible study, to go to the next service. I remember just like, oh man, I didn't want to hear about no church. I used to just be fearful of it. I had went here and there through my youth, you know, and I had even tried to kind of sit and read the Bible. And honestly, I thought it was boring. And I'll get to that here in a moment. But I went to church and I just remember like bad feelings about church. Like I don't never feel like I was really informed and educated on what church was growing up. Like why we go. I think, you know, those older relatives, your grandma, they kind of just make you go. Easter Sunday, they kind of just make you go. And I didn't really go on Easter Sunday. Again, we just didn't go to church like that. You know, my pop wasn't really into. He believes in a higher, my step-pop, not my dad, my mom and dad, that's a different conversation, my biological dad, I mean, but my step-pop, and when I say biological, my father, I love my father to death, my father, but my stepdad, he believed in a higher power, he believed in something different, he wasn't necessarily like Bible, Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit, he wasn't that, but he did believe in a higher power, but again, we just weren't that type of household. We weren't watching those type of shows. We weren't listening to that type of music. We weren't in those type of things. I don't even remember, unless my mama got invited, I don't really remember individuals even inviting us to church. And this plays even further into my immediate family, because there's a separation just between my family of who goes to church, who doesn't go to church, who does it consistently, et cetera, et cetera, when I was younger. So I want to give y'all that piece of information. I remember going to church and just thinking, man, I got to be in here all day. I used to draw little Jesus pictures on the cross and stuff like that. I remember I had this bad thing about falling asleep in church. I used to be so embarrassed. You got the different urchins coming around telling you to spit your gum out. The urchins coming around nudging you, telling you to wake up. Your grandma sitting there telling you to wake up. I used to be so annoyed by going to church. I wasn't listening to anything. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I used to sit there, get my crayons and whatever, and I was just drawing. I used to draw when I was younger. I wasn't thinking about no church. And man, oh man, I did not want to be in church all day. Church just used to seem so long. And my grandmother is Baptist. So Lord, and I don't think this even applies to all Baptists, but my grandmother was Baptist. And the churches that we went to, and let me say this, my family, I don't know how many pastors in my family, individuals that have their own churches, and you know, first lady of the church, and all these different things. And again, I just didn't grow up in church like that. Even though I had family members that had churches that were pastors, and we visited their churches over the years, whenever I might have been staying in my grandmother's house, and if she made me get up and go to church that Sunday morning or whatever, but I wasn't in a church like that. So when I would go, I would get tired. I would get bored. I thought the Bible was so boring. I thought the Bible was boring for the longest period of time. I was like, who would read this? Why would somebody sit down and read this? This ain't Goosebumps. This, you know, this ain't, you know, whatever other little books I was reading at the time. You know, just like, man, what is this? Ain't no pictures. And I know, eventually I did get a children's Bible, you know, that had some pictures and had a little more things, you know, as I grew up. And again, I know there are different Bibles, but as a kid, there are just not a lot of things to me that makes that child interested in going to church. I don't care what anybody has to say. A kid is just a kid. We like simple things. We like cartoons. We like Pop-Tarts. Some of us may like vegetables. We like going outside to play. We like hanging out with our friends. I don't think going to church is at the top of the list for kids. I don't think kids are just sitting there looking forward to going to church. It's just something that you do. It's something that becomes a habit. It's something that your family brings you into. But I think later on you develop that interest and that like and that want to actually go to church. So I remember just being there all day. And I know I keep saying that, but it felt like all day. It might have been an hour. It might have been an hour and a half, but it felt like all day to me. It was just like, oh, when can we go? When can I go outside? When can I get out of here? You think about that. Trying to get a child to sit down for a long period of time is a struggle in itself. So trying to get a child to sit down for a long period of time in a church is even worse. So now that I'm an adult, I feel for parents and I feel for the kids because I can understand both sides. My pastor at my current church said the children should be here. He had a whole message, but he said that there's no problem. If they're crying, if they're doing whatever, that's fine. That's okay. That's their expression. We shouldn't sit here and try to put these kids out of church. And I know that can go a lot of different ways because, you know, kids can be a disruption and this, that, and the thing when it comes to the church. But I really liked and appreciated my pastor saying it because most of the time you're not going to hear that. Most of the time the pastor's trying to preach. He's not really addressing what the kids are doing in the church. So I actually appreciated that from my pastor. But I just remember being in church all day. And I remember one time where it literally was all day. It wasn't just a figment of my imagination because as a child, your imagination can run rampant. But I remember one day that I want to say we got there early in the morning. I don't even remember what it was for. I want to say maybe it was a pastoral anniversary of one of my relatives or something like that. But I mean, we got there early that morning, went to the first service. The first service felt like it lasted 4 hours, which I really want to say that it did, because different churches do things differently. So sometimes some churches, they praise and worship seem like it's forever. Oh my goodness. Praise and worship seem like it can go on forever. And talk about the prayer. Oh, the prayer can be as long as that too. And then you got the church announcements. Man, the church announcements, and then we get to the preacher. And the preacher may be feeling it. This is a pastoral anniversary, so I wouldn't be surprised if the preacher was feeling it, whether it was my relative that was pastor, that we were at my relative's church or somebody else's, but was feeling it. So we went to the first service. That took forever. I want to say we had another service that took forever. And my grandmother, I don't know, maybe she was an usher, whatever the case may be, but we had to be there all day, all day. So the kids in between, we kind of got to play a little bit, whatever the case may be, but we were there pretty much all day. And I think after the last service, it probably was about 5-6 o'clock, I want to say. I may be exaggerating this story. This story may not have happened exactly how I'm saying it, but this is how it felt in my mind. This is how it felt. So this is how I'm expressing it. So after that, we eat. Now, that's probably the best part of the day. Now it's time to eat, get the food together. You know, we did the pastoral anniversary, all that. Now you get to eat. Now you finally get to go outside. So that was my experiences as a kid going to church. It was just kind of me not going to church, which I didn't go to church for a long period of time. I didn't really start going to church consistently until after college, which I'll talk about my experiences once I got into college. But basically, from younger all the way up through high school, I went to church here and there. I tried to sit there and read the Bible here and there, but it just wasn't something that I could do. So church was always just like, I'll go, you know, if I need, you know, if somebody invites me, I'll go if it's some family thing going on. But I was not interested in going to church all of my formative years. I was not interested in going to church. I remember one time going to church with a girlfriend at the time and getting anointed that our relationship was going to be blah, blah, blah. And we ended up breaking up like a month later. You know what I mean? But I mean, they literally, this was, I think they were a Kojic church, brought us up to the front. They did all these different things. People falling out. This is the first time I think I've seen people actually speaking in tongues. And I was just like, what is going on here? I just went with the flow. This was a girl I was dating. This was high school. I just went with the flow. There are different instances also in high school where someone actually came up to me and they prophesized over my life. They kind of told me where they could see me, you know, and I'll tell y'all this just to put it out in the air, because people who know me outside of social media know that apparently there's a calling on my life. And I believe there's a calling on my life greater than what I actually want to do myself. Like, I have certain interests and things that I'm interested in, but I've received several prophetic messages from individuals that I did not know. And I always took the time out to listen. I remember being younger, it was like, don't talk to crazy people. Don't sit there and be talking to people that are sitting there trying to talk to you about the Bible. I may have heard that from different people, may have heard it from my mom or whatever. But, you know, sometimes people would just walk up on you just talking about the Bible. And it was crazy. So, or it looked crazy at least. But I was one of those kids that listened because I wanted to hear what they said. I wanted to see if they were actually talking about something or if they really were crazy. So I had several prophetic messages that were saying that you're going to be a pastor. I can see it. There's something on you. There's something on your spirit. There's something on your calling. And I know before everybody get to calling me out and saying that's what I need to work on, believe me, I've heard it from everybody. I've heard it from pastors. I've heard it as into my adult life. And I've heard it at the most random times. One time it was at the laundromat. One time it was in front of my middle school. One time it was in Texas at my wife's home church. One time it was here at a church that we were visiting. From different individuals, I've always heard that same message. So there's always been a relationship with me and God, but I didn't know God personally. I didn't really want to know. I didn't want to even feel like I have to change my life or feel like I got to do things differently because I found God. Like, I kind of wanted to keep living how I was living at that time. So all of this just culminates to how I was, what I thought. I could have been dead. I literally could have died. There were so many different instances. I remember the first time hearing about death when I was in elementary. And I had a friend, I don't know if I told this story before, but I'm just going to tell it again. There was a situation and an individual, another child that I went to school with, I can't remember his name. I tried to remember his name for the longest, but I can't remember. His father had a gun. His gun was unlocked at the time, and his brother went into the room and got to playing around with the gun. The gun went off. Bullet went through the wall, hit this child that I went to school with, that was my friend at the time, and killed him. That was my first encounter with death. Very young. Stayed with me. I mean, it hurt me. Why was the gun unlocked? Why was he playing with the gun? How stupid. Like, even as a kid, that really impacted me and impacted my thinking and probably started my feeling and how I feel even today when it comes to guns and gun control and gun violence and all of these different things. I'm just kind of against guns. I wish guns were never invented. I feel like guns are some of the most dangerous, or maybe the most dangerous invention ever created. And I know there are other weapons, you know, knives and you know, whatever the case may be, but I feel like guns begat bombs and begat other things and, you know, so on and so forth. I feel like the invention of guns is the most catastrophic thing that could have ever occurred in history. So that was my first encounter with guns. Now, I had been around individuals with guns, like I said on 30 for 30, you know, my episode. If you haven't, go ahead and go back and check that out. I grew up in gang banging in Little Rock. So in my childhood, I saw a lot of different things. I actually went through one scenario where I lived, my apartment actually got shot up. And my mom doesn't like me to share this, but my apartment actually got shot up. There were literally bullet holes in the walls and bullet holes in my mom's speaker. My mom had these nice speakers, man. She loved them speakers. There's bullet holes in the speakers. I remember my mom coming in and saying, "Get in the closet." Now, I'm a kid, and, you know, get in the closet. My sister was a baby at this time. My second oldest sister. I'm the oldest, and then my two sisters under me. So my second oldest sister, she was a baby at the time. And I just remember my mom coming in and saying, "Get in the closet." And there was a shootout. My step-pop was involved, and I don't know how that turned out, whatever the case may be. It was a long time ago, but that was the first time that my apartment got shut up. That was not the first time that I had heard gunshots go off. That was not the first time that I had actually saw guns. That was not the first time that I was introduced to that, but it was scary. I just remember going in that closet and crouching down into a ball, and I don't know how I survived that. I mean, I dodged a lot of bullets, but that was just an encounter when I was younger where I could have died in that situation. And somehow we were all right. My pop was all right. My step pop was all right. My mom was all right. I was all right, but I could have died in that situation. There were several fights that could have went wrong. I mean, there was a neighborhood bully when I was younger. I mean, this was like the baddest, meanest kid in the whole neighborhood. But again, our whole neighborhood is tough. And I didn't really play those games. My mom didn't really play none of that stuff. I never had to really call on my family unless something got just out of hand and my family needed to get involved, which that didn't happen until I got a little bit older. But when I was younger, I wasn't about that. You weren't going to punk me. We was going to have it in. So most of the time, didn't nobody give me no problems. But I had several instances where me and this individual fighting. We fought on the bus. We fought at the school. This kid's name was Styrone. Hey, I forgot this guy's name, but it's been so long. And eventually things calmed down. You know, I think, you know, he got into so much trouble and was getting moved around and kind of kicked out of school and stuff like that. So stuff kind of calmed down. But I mean, he was just a bad kid, and we used to fight. He used to try to pick on me. We used to get into it. We used to argue. You know, kids being kids. We used to fight because I wasn't playing. So we fought. I want to say maybe he won sometimes. Maybe I won sometimes. But we fought a lot. All the time they had to separate us. I did a lot of fighting when I was younger. Not just him, but I really believe by the time I got through high school, I had been in about 200 fights. Because I used to fight so much when I was younger. I used to fight just in like the little neighborhood fights. I used to fight in just the little gang stuff. I used to fight on different things. And again, these are all situations that could have went a different way. that could have gotten even worse because I was kind of a bad kid. I was mischievous. Again, I always did good in school, but I was a little mischievous. And it wasn't that I was just a bad kid. I was just in a bad environment. These things were normal. I remember, you know, a situation where, you know, I was a little bit older at this time. So I'm kind of bounced back and forth. I was a little bit older at this time and fireworks. So in Little Rock, back in the day, we used to do these firework competitions where we would get our Roman candles, we would get our missile launchers, and we would get our cannons, and we shot fireworks at people. This was a tradition from when I was younger till I got older. We actually went through one neighborhood one time, and we shot up the whole neighborhood. You know, I know I'm telling on myself, but, you know, I'm just being honest. You know, I did a lot of things, you know, that not a lot of people know. But anyway, this is all old. It's all in the past. I ain't going to incriminate myself because y'all ain't never going to get the specific information or specific locations of where these different things occur. But they did happen, you know, and I apologize. You know, I'm sorry about some of the things that I've been involved in that I just didn't really know any better, you know, just being younger. But anyway, there was a situation where we had just got through shooting fireworks at the police. And I specifically didn't, but I thought it was funny, but our group did. So we had went through one apartment. We had started in a field. We had this big war, which is just a war, is just everybody kind of just shooting fireworks back and forth. And we had migrated into an apartment complex. And we going through the apartment complex, and I remember different people I know shooting at people in the apartment. Some people didn't, they weren't even popping fireworks. They didn't even have nothing to do. Just shooting at people in their houses, just sitting on their porches. Because some people would complain, y'all need to stop doing that. They talking to us. We kids. We like, man, forget y'all. We shooting at everybody. So we wrecking stuff. My crew, we was deep. Even the people that was going against us eventually turned around and was coming on our side. So we going through, and this was normal. The people who even sitting outside, they know this. They not sitting outside on the 4th of July just for nothing. Some people know that there are certain neighborhoods that these things happen, that this is normal, and it's kind of used to. People do drive-bys. People in cars driving by shooting fireworks out of their cars. You know what I'm saying? And again, that's another situation that could have been wrong because somebody could have got upset because we shooting back at the cars. Somebody could have did something like that. And I'll get to a situation like that here in just a minute. But we're literally shooting through these apartments, shooting fireworks or whatever. So we get to a point where they call the police. So that apartment complex calls the police. This war then spills out onto the street. And now we're literally running and different individuals are shooting at the police. It was a night to be seen. And I'm talking about literally people are shooting fireworks at the police. These kids, I don't know if they got arrested. Thank God nobody got shot. But it's just like, man, so many different things went on this night. So we get to a different apartment complex. And now this is a little bit rougher side. So we are still shooting. And at this point, it's kind of dying down, but we still shooting at people. So some guys get to talking crazy to us. Guys, and we like, man, F y'all. So a situation happens where one of the people we know, he was like, oh, okay, I got y'all. He jumps the gate to the apartments and he starts shooting in these individuals' houses. Man, it got live then because then a fight broke out. Luckily, everybody was all right. This individual was able to jump back over the fence. But, man, that could have really went bad. And even he felt bad about it just when we got older that he shouldn't have done that. But again, man, we was kids and we was stupid. We was dumb. We did a lot of dumb stuff. So that was another situation that really could have turned into something different. We could have got shot by the police. We could have got shot by these individuals that we were shooting into their houses with fireworks. Somehow, I made it through that. There was another situation where, you know, I was, you know, just, and I think I talked about it on 30 for 30, where I was just involved in a situation that kind of got out of hand. And people were actually looking to do very serious harm to me. And that situation, eventually it got calmed down. But that was another situation, because I kind of talked about it on 30 for 30, where it really could have gotten out of hand. And there are just so many instances. Just being black, being a child, growing up in the hood, you have a lot of encounters, I want to say, with with death, you know, but we're living wild. We're living on the edge. I'm not really thinking about surviving. I'm not thinking about getting older. Live by the gun, die by the gun. So I am in the wilderness. I'm living a certain type of life and I'm all right. Nothing ever really happened that was that bad. I was never shot. I was never stabbed. Mostly what I was involved in was fights. There were different situations where something may have been used or something like that, but I was all right. You know, I came out all right, and I can't say it was nothing but God. So you have that, you have those situations, and let's just say, being human, I could have been sick. I mean, I started having sex at a young age, but I always wrapped it up. I never played with that. I remember watching those videos when I was younger, and I didn't play around with that type of stuff. I wasn't trying to catch no disease. I wasn't trying to have no baby by anybody. That was just something I really took care of, is to watch how I was moving and what I was doing. But I was still out in these streets. I was still out messing with these different females. I could have caught something just living that type of life, being promiscuous, being a boy. I could have been born with a disability. I could have been born, you know, with a cancer, or got some type of secondhand cancer, because I grew up around individuals that smoked around me. I could have had multiple sclerosis. You know, I had an uncle that was actually born with MS. So I could have actually been born with some type of defect. I could have been born, you know, with, you know, something to where I could have been disabled and just had one arm or one leg. And, you know, I could have really been hurt, but somehow I was all right. And I never looked at these things, because I always tried to live a good life. I always tried to be a good kid. I tried to do the right thing. I tried to be honest. I tried to honor my parents. I tried to do a lot of things that eventually I learned about in the Bible, which I'll kind of discuss. But I tried to do a lot of things and still be a good kid. Not just overtly bad, you know, not just intentionally doing bad things to people. I did some bad things in a lot of different situations, and you know, I stole some things as a kid, and you know, took things from the store that I didn't pay for. But there was a balance. I wasn't stupid. I was young. I was dumb. I wasn't stupid. Like, I knew the difference. I knew right and wrong. I always had this good sense of right and wrong. I never really knew where it came from or where I understood it, because I had a lot of bad examples growing up. I didn't really have a lot of good examples, like, do this the right way, do this the right way. Again, I didn't grow up in a church. I didn't have these things to where it's like I could have came out as a good kid. I didn't have that positive role model. My mom was working. That's what she did. She took care of the house, and I thank her for that. But I got a different message, and my message mostly came from the street. It didn't necessarily come from TV. It really just came from being outside, seeing what other kids were doing, seeing what the older people were doing in my neighborhood. So as a kid, you know, I dodged, you know, just different sicknesses. And there was actually a situation that I have a scar on my arm to this day where I could have lost my arm had it hit an artery. So I was in, I lived in the trailers, you know, trailer park. If you don't know what that is, go look it up. But at one point, me and my family, we were in a trailer park. And trailer parks, the trailer is not the best built. They could be new, they could be old. I want to say ours was older at this time, but I was a little bit older. I want to say I was probably in middle school, maybe high school. I'm not sure, but I was actually trying to open the window in my room. I was in the back of the trailer. I think my mom was in, like, towards the front. And then my sister was kind of in the middle. You know, she was a little bit older at this time. This was before my youngest sister was born. So I'm in the back and I'm just trying to get some air. It's a little hot. You know, trailers, they have air conditioning. They have water. They have all of these different things that are set up with the trailer. This is a trailer park. This is not where trailers are actually moving. These are standstill trailers. So I'm in the back and I'm trying to open a window. Now, again, some things I just didn't really think through too well. So I'm trying to open this window and it's really not opening. I'm hot. I'm just like, man, I'm just trying to lay back. I got the fan on, but I'm like, man, I got to get this window open. So as I'm trying to get the window open, guess what happens? I break the window. I'm pushing the window so hard. And I actually think I later realized that I possibly was pushing the window the wrong way, which is why the window wasn't opening. So, I mean, I'm pushing hard. I push so hard and I break the window. I guess my hand slips and I break the window. And immediately I see blood everywhere. I didn't know where it was coming from. I just know it was like, break. What's going on? You know, it's just like panic ensues at this point because it happened and I'm just like panicking because I know it broke and I know it's bad. And there's blood everywhere. And I'm looking at my arm and I'm just like, wow, I got this big old gash on my arm. And I still have, you know, because going to the hospital, just to kind of skip forward, then we're going to go back. Going to the hospital at this time, it was Southwest Hospital. Not everybody knows how to stitch up black people because of our skin. And it was a pretty big cut. I remember them asking me my pain. What was my pain level on? So anyway, I still got a pretty bad scar from this because the stitching was very poor. They didn't stitch me back together well. So mom goes through the window. I'm panicking. My mom was like, what's wrong? So then we figure out how to cover up my arm and the bleeding stops. And now they're taking me to the hospital. Now I'm looking at my arm because at this point the bleeding stops. I'm looking at my arm and I can't feel it. Like, I think I went into shock to where I can see it and I can move my fingers, but I can't feel it. And I'm just looking at this hole and I'm looking at this cut on my arm. So we get to the hospital and they ask me what level of pain I'm on. I think I said a 9 or something like that. And we still had to wait. Because that's what happens in those little lower hospitals. You go to the hospital, you tell them you got a gunshot wound to the head, and they're like, okay, it's going to be about 8 hours. We're going to get you in as soon as possible. So I'm waiting, and finally, they get me in. It was kind of a blur because they put me under medicine. They do whatever they need to do, blah, blah, blah. These stitches dissolve. So eventually, the stitches would dissolve. The doctor told me that had it went a different way slightly, they would have had to amputate. I was blessed. I could have lost my arm trying to really just open a window and just doing too much stupid. You know, it was like, why were you pushing on the window that hard? Like, that was just dumb. So it's like, I could have lost my arm. I just think about all these things where I could have been dead. I could have been sick. I could have been disabled. You know what I mean? And somehow, I am here today with all of my limbs, all of my pieces, all of my bits, you know, and I'm fortunate for that. And I know why. I didn't know why when I was younger. Everything just kind of seemed to be happening. Everything was just kind of an occurrence. So I know why. When I got a little bit older, to college, actually, they had like campus ministry, and I met some friends at campus ministry because I always had an interest. I always wanted to get into church because, again, I felt something pulling on my spirit. I feel like when God calls on you, you're always going to feel it. Always. For those of you who can relate to that, y'all know what I mean, that you have something that's on you that you can't shake, even if it's just a passion. Even if it's just like a decision, it's something that's just there that you can feel that never goes away. It's always there. So when I get to college, I get interested in campus ministry. And I don't remember exactly when, but at some point, I finally sat down and read the entire Bible. And the Bible was interesting. I never knew the Bible could be interesting. I never knew that this is what I could get from the Bible. It was literally a page turner. So many things were making sense. As I was reading through the Bible, there were so many things that I could relate to, like feelings that I had, because it was like I was living a certain way. And I was like, man, I feel like I'm living right. But man, my mom doesn't have money. I don't have nice shoes like everybody. I don't have nice clothes like everybody. I didn't get a car when I was in the ninth grade like everybody. I didn't have rims when I finally got a car like everybody. I didn't have these subs in my car. You know, in the South, speakers was, I didn't have these subs when I got my car. Man, I had to pay for my car. I gotta pay insurance. Like, oh man, this kid has these toys. I don't have this. Oh man, I didn't grow up in a house. I didn't have these, but I still tried to be a good kid. I made good grades. I was respectful to my mother. I didn't cuss. I was respectful to my grandmother. I didn't try to hurt girls. I tried to treat girls the right way. I tried to, you know, love them. I was a relationship type. I considered myself to be a hopeless romantic. Like, I didn't really do a lot of dating, and I did a lot of dating, excuse me. Dating, I got a different definition for dating, but I did a lot of things, but I tried to generally be a good dude. I didn't lie. I didn't cheat. I didn't have all of these different things going on with all these girls. Everybody knew about each other. Even when I was playing whatever little games I was playing, everybody knew. And before I had girls, I was like, man, am I ugly? Am I not smart enough? Am I not, you know, you have a lot of questions because you see, like, hey, I'm trying to be a good kid. I'm wearing decent clothes. I don't just look like a bum. You know, I know my mom used to dress me when I was real young. And then my mom said, hey, you can take this child support money and you can start dressing yourself. My mom never took my child support money from me. We're not going to talk too much about that, but she gave me that money. You know, she always was open with me and she always supported me. So anyway, I just was, you know, I was a good kid generally. So as I'm reading through the Bible in college, so many different parallels, so many different things where I can relate. And I said, wow, this whole time I've been afraid of the Bible. I've been intimidated. I didn't came across Bible thumpers. I had somebody in college tell me that you're going to hell. Somebody literally tell me you're going to hell because of who you are and how you live and put a judgment on my life. And I said, I learned that maybe this person hasn't read the Bible because that's not how it works. You're not my judge. You're not my jury. You're not God. And it's not my place to judge somebody else. It's my job to have a closer relationship with God and to understand God, and to lead people to Christ, and to live a certain way as best I can. It's not my job to be perfect. And it's not your responsibility or your account to sit here and tell me what I'm going to be, where I'm going to go. Judge not, lest ye be judged. So I'm reading the Bible, and it clicks. And I literally, somewhere in there, I find my purpose. I find my purpose. My purpose, and I think I've said it before, is to help people, to guide people, to lead people. I felt it. And that feeling went away. That feeling of something is calling me, something is leading me, something is just grabbing me, something is hitting me in the stomach, something is following me. All of my days is I understand. This is my purpose. This is my path. This is what I'm supposed to be on. I've been living the right way for the most part. This is my affirmation here, looking at this Bible, that, man, I've been practicing some of the same things that the Bible teaches. And I remember feeling like there was some bad spirit following me. I remember having those night terrors where you feel like there's a weight or something on your back. Where some people, older people, will say the devil's sitting on your back. You know, or I would have these dreams of falling, or I would have these dreams that something happened to me, that I died, and how my mom felt, and how that affected my sisters. And I would have these dreams that there's this dark presence around me. My childhood was dark. It was light. It was dark. It was a little bit of everything. But I remember just having just dark images and different things and feelings and moods, because it was kind of like live by the gun, die by the gun, like Tupac. I didn't really see that future that everybody else saw. I didn't, like I said before, I didn't want to be like Mike. I didn't have that. That wasn't my goal. That wasn't my motivation. So reading the Bible when I got to college gave me so many different things. And it really put a heart of Christ in me. It really helped me put things into perspective. That was the first time. I had read it several more times after that, but I literally read the Bible front to back in college, and I learned that it matched my walk. I thank God because I'm alive. I think I heard that from my friend when we were in college. It's something he used to say, one of my good friends, and he's like, man, I thank God because I'm alive. Like, not for all of these other things that people thank God for. It's like, just because I get to breathe, because I get to see another day, because I get to wake up. Like, I thank God because I'm alive. And I felt that. I embraced that. Like, I thank God through all of these different things, all of these different scenarios, that somehow I made it. I saw a lot of death when I was younger. I saw a lot of pain. I went through a lot of pain. I saw a lot of poverty when I was younger. And I went through it. And it's just like, I could have been dead. Like, man, something could have took me out. I could have committed suicide. I remember different situations in college where suicide was a thought. And even when I was a little younger, where I had these different little thoughts, I could never harm myself. I could never go past that point to actually do something to myself. I figured I'd take some pills or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to put a gun to my head or slit my wrist. That's too painful. But I might could do the pills. Like, man, I really had some of these things, you know, and I'm just being honest, you know, I'm being transparent. I really had some of these things to where I felt these different ways because of different things that were happening to me, because of different things that I wasn't able to get. I felt these different ways. So I thank God that God got me to that point and that God got me to where I am today. So through all of these different scenarios, I feel like God has been protecting me. And again, I found God at that time, and I've been following God ever since now. I haven't been perfect. I am far from perfect. Far from perfect. I don't do the right things all the time. I don't go to church consistently. I don't read my Bible all the time. I don't call others to Christ all the time and do God's work all the time, but I'm working on it. I am a work in progress, and I can sit here today confidently telling my story, telling how I felt, telling you all what I went through, what I've been through, and telling you all the realizations that I've come to. And I know how different individuals, like I said, feel about the Bible, feel about Christ. And I know that some people have been through so much to where they've become atheists at this point. They've lost all faith. And I don't ever think there's a point for that. I've went through a lot of things. And I've lost people very close to me. But there's something in me that will never let me get to that point. Same thing that was in me that would never let me harm myself. Because you have to go over a certain point to be able to harm yourself. And I know individuals, I actually had a friend when I was younger that committed suicide. He hung himself. And this is, you know, this is, you know, just what I mean about, man, there's so many different things that could have happened to me that somehow I came past. But I had a friend who got in trouble and actually went to juvenile, got locked up and went to juvenile. And while he was in juvenile, I believe there was a shift change, and there was a period of time where he was not being monitored, and he actually got his bed sheet together, tied it to the poles that were above the, you know, above him in his cell. Now, this is juvenile. This is not the pen. This is not the county jail. This is juvie. You know what I mean? And he hung himself. I couldn't believe it. I remember this kid's name. I went to school with him. We played together. We got into some trouble together. You know what I mean? And when I heard that, it hurt. You know, it hurt. Because when you're around people and you know that maybe sometimes your influence kind of got them involved in certain things and may have led to them getting arrested, I don't hold myself accountable for a lot of people's actions. There are some things that I feel bad about, but I've forgiven myself. But this was a situation I wasn't even involved in. You know, this was this individual out doing things on his own, and he got caught up, and he committed suicide. He hung himself. They found him. It was too late. And I'll never forget him. You know what I mean? I hate that had to happen. I hate that his parents had to deal with that, that his brother had to deal with that. Like, I hate that he did. I know other people that went to juvie and they didn't do that. You know, they didn't do that. That's not, you know, who does that? It was horrible. It was upsetting. But this person was no longer here. That was the realization. This person was no longer here. So when I say I'm far from perfect, I am walking my best walk. I am living out my best life. I'm trying to do the things that not everybody can do. Not everybody can understand. I'm trying to put on that full armor of God. I am trying to teach my daughter to be a better person than I was. I'm trying to raise my sisters and my little cousins and my little partners from the hood and whoever else that there is a different way. And you can have a relationship with God. I don't force God onto anybody. I'll invite you to church. I'll tell you about some things. I may even preach. I may even say a word and quote some scripture, but I'm never going to beat you over the head. I know how that felt when I was younger. That pushed me away when I was younger. You know, the individuals who did come to me and try to beat me over the head, that pushed me away. So I understand how that feels. So I try to make it comfortable. This is a choice. This is not the only choice, but you do have an option. Christ is an option. Following the word of God is an option. The Bible is an option. And that, you know, ultimately, it's up to you. I remember there was a movie, and I think it was a song or whatever, too. I don't know if y'all know about the group The Clips. So you know about Malice and Pusha T. So Clips broke up, and I was never a big Clips fan, but his brother actually found God. Gene Thornton, who is now known as No Malice, came up with something that was called Wretched, Pitiful, Poor, Blind, and Naked. If you don't know what that is, you can go find the audiobook. You can go look that up. It's a little bit older, but that title was so striking. You can feel it. Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You get like that hits. I remember watching the movie. I didn't read the book, but I remember watching the movie and just seeing some different things. And I thought it was weird. You know, I thought it was weird, but it's like when I look back, I understood. I saw the toll. Like I felt some of those things. And I had never been to that type of position in my life, but that title just kind of tells you how it feels to be in this world, to be living a certain type of way, to be putting bad things into the world, and somehow you're still alive, somehow you're getting to live, somehow you didn't get locked up, somehow you didn't get hooked on drugs. But it's a realization of who you are, where you're at in life, what your feelings are, and just things that you're going through. So it's kind of autobiographical, and he kind of talks about, you know, I think he's pretty much talking about himself, but I just remember watching it and that it was very impactful. What I would say to all of you is a lot of things go on. Sometimes you have to sit back and say, thank God I'm blessed. And I don't mean I'm blessed like I'm blessed, you're not. What I'm saying is I thank God that he covered me, that he protected me, that he walk with me. I thank God that I've been blessed and I didn't deserve it. Living the way that I lived, doing the things that I have done and some things I may do here and there now, it's like I don't deserve any of this. And somehow all these things that happen to all these different people, I'm here to talk about it. I'm here to live my life. I'm here to see something else. I'm here, and there's a lot of people that ain't here. And I always think, like, I know they probably wish they were here. I wish they were here. You know what I mean? But once you gone, you gone. Ain't no coming back. So live your life while you're here. Try to walk the right way. Try to do the right things and be thankful. just for having breath in your body, just for being able to use your eyes, just for being able to use your arms, just for being able to not have to be on medicine every day. Be thankful for the things that you have, because you could not have had them. You could have been dead. You could have been worse off. And I know we go through a lot of feelings, but that is how it could have been. That's how your life could have turned out. That's how my life could have turned out. So I want to thank God for blessing me. This whole thing was just a moment and a feeling, and I hope that you got something out of it. I hope that you heard something that touches you. I hope that you heard something that provoked thought. I hope that it just made you think. I'm just here. Feel free to reach out to me. Let me know, what you guys' thoughts are. Let me know how everybody else is feeling out there. Again, I am on Twitter at OfficialWWGD. I am on Instagram at WhatWeGonDo. You can email me WhatWeGonDo@gmail.com. If you are looking to start a podcast or change your current podcast host, check out Podbean.com/WhatWeGonDo and get 30 days of free unlimited hosting. If you would like to become a patron and support this message and support what I'm talking about, go to my Podbean.com, WhatWeGonDo, become a patron. I have the links. They'll be in the show notes. They'll be on my Twitter. You'll see some things on my Instagram. I really appreciate y'all taking out the time to listen to me today. And y'all have a great rest of the day. Have a great night. Have a great life. And just be thankful. No matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it seems, if you are listening to this or you have a breath in your body and you are able to change your tomorrow and change your future, be thankful. Peace.